I'm going to go ahead and record, and I think we're recording. So, hi, everybody, and thank you for coming and sitting in on this session. Thank you, Ed, for giving me the opportunity to talk about this particular topic. I think LinkedIn is an incredibly useful tool, and I think all freelancers and solopreneurs should understand the tool and really have a good grasp of what it can do for you. I think everyone's different, but there's a lot of value in this tool, and I'm hoping that I can share that with everybody today. So we're going to dive right in. I am, if it lets me, maybe, maybe not, hold on. All right. So a little bit about my background, just for those of you who are here and haven't met me yet. I think we've done some buddy meetings, but I'm not sure if I've met all of you. My lovely face. I wanted to tell you just a little bit about my experience with LinkedIn. Last year, I was brought in by a client of mine to travel the U.S. and deliver workshops on LinkedIn. And I just signed a contract this week for 15 more workshops for this year, so very excited about doing that. So I travel the country and I share the basics and the details about finding leads on LinkedIn. And for this particular client, the audience is insurance professionals. So people who are a lot like us, they're out there as professionals in the insurance industry trying to find new clients. So that's part of what I've been delivering. Just so that you know, this slide deck that I'm going to be sharing with you today and all the tips are actually mine. This is how I use LinkedIn and how I use it to find my leads. And so that's what I'm going to be sharing with you the bulk of it today. For a point of reference, I get at least 95% of my leads from LinkedIn. I spend a fair amount of time on LinkedIn, and most of my leads come from there. The rest are inbound leads, people that might find me through LinkedIn or other ways, and referrals. So far in 2015, I have already put in the bank about $15,000 from leads off of LinkedIn, and I have a good 12,000 or so more pending right now. So LinkedIn really does work for me, and I'm hoping that by sharing with you some of the things that I do, it'll help you as well. So let's talk a little bit about what we're covering today. I find that LinkedIn is a bit of a mystery and that people are frustrated by LinkedIn because they don't understand it. So I'm hoping that I can give you some background and some basic understanding of LinkedIn so that you can appreciate it a little bit more. The other thing we'll be touching on is your profile. I'm going to share with you some best practices and some things to think about as you fine-tune your profile on LinkedIn. I'm also going to talk about etiquette, and one of the things that is really important is you understand that LinkedIn is just like a giant networking event. It's really designed for you to connect with other professionals, and so etiquette is really important. It's important to understand how to behave on LinkedIn and what to do and what not to do, so I'm going to be talking about that quite a bit today as well. And then the most important is how to find great leads. What are the best practices for uncovering the kind of people that you want to be connecting with and turning them into money for you? A couple of assumptions that I made in putting the slide deck together is that you already have a profile, you are already on LinkedIn, and that you already kind of know your way around. So you probably know how to search and can find people and do some of the basics. Not going to get into any of that kind of granular detail today. There's a couple of things that I believe are important to your success on LinkedIn, and the number one thing that I'm going to be focused on today and walking through these slides and these ideas is a mindset shift. As I mentioned, a lot of people are confused by LinkedIn, don't really understand it. I'm hoping that I can demonstrate to you how it works, how it can work effectively, and also help you to think a little differently about LinkedIn and how to use it. One of the most important things for me personally is consistency. I'm on LinkedIn every day and definitely recommend that you adopt that as well into your daily routine. The amount of time you spend is up to you, but it's an important place to be as a professional. The other thing is strategy. I'm going to talk a bit a little bit later in the presentation about smart connections, and definitely want to be talking to you about that because I think it's important to have some kind of a plan when you're out there reaching out to people. And then finally, my favorite is GWTF, and that's just go with the flow. LinkedIn rolled out a major user interface update recently. It was a lot of changes, and I've had to adopt this mindset as well, just kind of roll with it and keep working with it, and learn the new functionality as they roll out more different types of functions and make changes. So just a couple of key things that I think are good to keep in mind. I'm going to pause here just a minute and make sure everybody is muted. There we go. Sorry about that. So let's dive into understanding what LinkedIn is all about. And the first thing that I want to talk about is credibility. And you're going to hear me use the word credibility a lot because LinkedIn has changed dramatically since it was first announced. And credibility is really what the base is what I want you to be thinking about when it comes to LinkedIn. And one of the reasons is because that it has become the new yellow pages for professionals. What we're seeing is that people actually go to LinkedIn first to learn about you before they actually visit your website most of the time. One of the reasons for that is that if someone were to type your name into Google or one of the other search engines, your LinkedIn profile always comes up in the top 4 or 5 results, always above the fold in search results. So it's an important place for you to be as a professional, especially as a freelancer and a solo professional or a solo entrepreneur. So the it really has replaced the yellow pages. You know, 20 years ago, we didn't have the internet. We were going to that big old book for everything. People are now going to LinkedIn instead and looking to see, do you exist? Who you're connected to, that's where they're going to go first to learn about you. Back when it was launched in 2003, it really was for job search. You know, when we first all jumped on LinkedIn, we posted all of our work history and, you know, we tried to find jobs, recruiters tried to find us. That's really what it has, where its roots are. A lot of that is still going on, but it has changed. And today there are over 467 million people on LinkedIn worldwide, over 200 countries. Asia, I think, is seeing the most growth right now. It's really an amazing tool. The bigger it gets, the more powerful it gets, and that's a really important thing to keep in mind. I like to refer to it as the world's largest self-updating CRM tool. And what I mean by that is that when someone changes a job, they go to a new company, perhaps they get a promotion, they're going to go to LinkedIn and update it so that all their colleagues can see it, especially if it's a promotion. Everybody likes to kind of talk about that. So it's an awesome tool. The thing that's amazing is that it's free. And it still amazes me that this huge, powerful tool is free. And by the way, all the things I'll be showing you today, you can do with a free account. You do not have to have a paid level account on LinkedIn. I'm happy to talk with that. It's not part of my presentation today, but if you have a question, make a note, and at the end, we'll open it up for Q&A. If you want to, I can share my thoughts about paid versus free and what my experience has been so far. So why is it important to grow your network? More connections, more people that you're connected to you do a number of things for you, and one is that credibility word again. When someone looks at your profile and you're connected to 500 plus people, it gives you automatic credibility. So as a professional and as a solopreneur, it's important to be showing that you're active on LinkedIn too and that you're connecting with lots of people. It also gives you better search results. So when you go to LinkedIn and you type in perhaps someone that you want to connect with, you're looking to find people with a particular title, job title, your results will be more robust. And when I get into the next couple of slides talking about how LinkedIn actually works, you'll begin to understand why that is and how that works. And it also brings your best leads closer to you. So as you start connecting with the right people and really being strategic about who you connect with out there, it's going to bring your leads closer to you. And again, I'll demonstrate that in an upcoming slide. A quick tip here, don't accept an invite from someone with very few connections unless you know them. The reality is that creepers are everywhere. I've encountered a few myself over the years on LinkedIn. LinkedIn does a great job of shutting these people down, but they're out there putting up bogus profiles, trying to connect. I'm not really sure what the point is, but just be mindful that they're everywhere on every social platform that's open and free to the public. So just be mindful of who you're connecting with when you're being invited to connect. So let's dive into how the network works. I think this is one of the areas that's probably the biggest point of confusion because it is not like Facebook. One of the things is that if you're not connected to someone, you're not going to be able to see too much about them. You're going to see maybe a partial name, maybe just a first name, very limited information. You probably won't be able to see their image. Simply because even if they have one, if you're not directly connected to them, LinkedIn does not allow you to see too much information about that person. It's different from Facebook in this way. For example, Ed and I are both on Facebook, and we have become friends. We've accepted a friend request, one from the other, and Ed has his friends, and I have mine. And I can look and see who Ed's friends are, but they don't really mean anything to me. I'm not connected to them. It's not really an extension of who I am. He's got his, I've got mine, and everybody's happy. With LinkedIn creates an automatic association. So all of Ed's friends now become my friends, and I bring them into my network. So what I did was I put together a couple of pictures here so that we can really kind of illustrate what that looks like. So when you log into LinkedIn and you're poking around and you look for people, you'll see that first, second, and third level connection indication. And I want to illustrate exactly what that means. So Ed and I are both on LinkedIn. I invited him to connect and he accepted. So that makes us first level connections. Ed, being the superstar rock star that he is, he has a whole bunch of other first-level connections as well, such as Richard. So he's on a first connection basis with Richard. And of course, Richard, being who he is, he has his pals. He's directly connected to Mark. So he and Mark are first-level connections. What does that mean to me, way back over here on the other side? What it means is that as soon as I become first-level connections with Ed, Richard now becomes my second level connection, and Mark now becomes my third level connection. So until I connected with Ed, they were outside of my network. As soon as I became a connection of Ed's, they all came a little bit closer to me. So this is where the strategy starts to come in when you're connecting with people. You want to think about who you're connecting with, who they know, and how you can get a little bit closer to them. A first level connection, you can do a lot with. You have full visibility. You can actually see their network, and I'm going to show you how to do that and how to take advantage of that. You're going to receive their updates. If they post an article or make a comment or anything goes on, you're going to see it in your newsfeed. And you can message them openly and unlimited on InMail within LinkedIn. A second level is someone that, again, you still actually have full visibility. You can see a lot about them and a lot about their background, and you will most likely be able to find a connect button that will allow you to connect with them and bring them into that first level if you decide to do so. And then the third level are people that are a little further out, and there's a little less information that I can see, and sometimes it's a little harder to connect. So I'm going to show you how to do that. There's a couple different ways to get around that, but I'll show you that as well. So if you think about your network as concentric circles, the green circle here are the folks that are closest to me, my second level and my third level are all people now that I can see and interact with. If Ed and I end up connecting, and for example, if he has 500 first level connections, as soon as he accepts my invite, I've now added 500 people to my second layer. If he has 500 second levels, I've now added them to my third level layer. So every time I add one person, all of their connections get a little bit closer to me and become part of my network. Ted's on the phone today. If I reached out to Ted on LinkedIn and he had 500 first level connections, as soon as he accepted my invite, I would now have 500 brand new second level, and so on. So every time I connect with someone, their connections become part of my network, and I can grow my network exponentially pretty quickly. The important part about this is, as I mentioned earlier, when you're doing a search, the more people you're connected to, the more people you're going to be able to see. So when you do a search, better names will come up. They're going to be closer to you. But here's a really important point. It's reciprocal. You now show up in their search. So if someone in that second or third tier of connection to me is looking for a writer and they do a search on LinkedIn, I'm going to show up above others that they are not connected with. So let's talk a little bit about profile. I want to share some best practices with you about your profile. As I mentioned at the start of the presentation, LinkedIn has become the yellow pages for professionals. So one mindset shift here that I would encourage you to kind of gravitate toward is thinking about your LinkedIn profile as a mini website of you. It's important to make sure that your information, your message is consistent and your branding is consistent so that whether they find you on LinkedIn or find you on your webpage, either or, they're going to see consistency and know that you're representing yourself as a professional in both locations. As always, avoid jargon. But LinkedIn is a great place to really use and utilize keywords. They're critical for search outside of LinkedIn, but also within. So putting keywords into your profile is important. I'm going to show you a couple different places where you can do that, where it works really well. The other thing I recommend is that you add media to your profile. And what I mean by media is it could be anything. It might be a white paper. It might be a lead magnet. It might be a slide presentation. Maybe it's a video that you've recorded for your business. All of those things can be embedded into your profile, and they just make you more interesting and give you more depth of information. The other thing is that it shows off your digital savvy. Even maybe 5 years ago, people were a little more tolerant of working with folks who weren't as digitally savvy. I think that over the years, as social media has grown and really exploded, I think that's no longer the case. So the more opportunity you can show that I know what I'm doing digitally, I just think reflects on you as a professional in a really good way. One thing that I want to really emphasize when you're building your profile, or if you already have it and you're going to be updating it after today, is to watch out for typos. And I want to share with you this little search that I did. I went to LinkedIn and I typed in and intentionally misspelled the word business in the search bar in LinkedIn. And so this is just the top four results. I didn't share all of them. Happens all the time. Even though we're all writers and we know we edit and it's best, I recommend, to have someone else take a look at your profile after you've made changes just to make sure there are no typos. Happens all the time. Definitely don't want to be in this situation. Another important piece of your profile is the profile picture. And I can't emphasize enough that your picture sends a message. And so what I did was I went into LinkedIn and I typed in a search for Jennifer Jordan, just kind of a random search. And these are the photos that came up. Now, this was LinkedIn. This was not Facebook. Really important that you understand that this is a professional networking software. It's a professional platform. Love the red feather boa, but unless she sells those for a living, I'm not quite sure what she's trying to communicate. So just be really mindful of the things that you're putting out there in terms of your photo. A couple of quick tips, no selfies. Cell phones take amazing pictures these days. I definitely would suggest that you have someone take a picture of you, a couple of pictures using a cell phone. You don't have to hire a professional photographer. Just don't do it yourself because it is very obvious and it definitely sends a message. Another one of my favorites is a third shoulder. You go to a wedding or some kind of an event, you're all dressed up, you're with your spouse and you look fabulous, and you get a couple of pictures taken and you try to lock that person out. Just don't do it because it's very obvious and, again, sending a message. You don't want to go too formal. This is a social media platform, so you want to stay business casual and contemporary. And I guess the bottom line really is be approachable, professional, and smiling. The woman in the second picture down here, you know, really touches on all of those things. She looks great. Definitely somebody you'd want to reach out and do business with. And also make sure that your picture is speaking to your audience. And again, who are you going to be talking to? Who are you going to be trying to engage with? Is the picture appropriate and serving you well? This last little segment of pictures is three women that I'm connected to. They're in my network. All three of them are CEOs of very successful companies. And if you notice, they're all just a little bit different. Casual backgrounds, maybe casual attire. They're smiling, but they all look professional. So choose the style that fits you best and that fits your audience best and go with that. A couple more best practices. Customizing your headline is something that I really encourage you to take advantage of. LinkedIn gives you 120 characters in which to freeform write anything that you want. This is a fantastic place to put keywords and really put in the kind of keywords that you know people are using to search for you. And the other important piece is that you want to communicate what you do and who you serve in this space. So as an example, I brought up, I did a search on Ed, and this is a search result, and his headline is perfect: business coach and strategist for freelance writers and creative professionals. And he's put in keywords, and he talks exactly who he is and who he serves. If I'm looking for an accountant, I'm not going to reach out to Ed. One point here that I want to bring up, if you look at the two gentlemen below him in this search result, they have not customized their headline. So what that means is that LinkedIn automatically fills in their current title and their current company. So the important part about this is that these come up in a number of different places. They are the first thing oftentimes that people see on LinkedIn is your face, your name, and your headline. So it's a really great thing to take advantage of. One point that I will make here in regards to keywords is be careful about flowery language. If you don't know much about keywords, it would be worth spending a little bit of time to, to educate yourself, but stay away from things like writing, and use the word writer or writers, because that's most likely what people are going to be searching for when they're looking for your services. All right, so let's talk a little bit about your summary. This is one area that has changed dramatically since the newest update of LinkedIn, the newest iteration for the user interface. The summary used to be, if you found someone's profile and looked at it, the summary, the entire thing would be visible right away. They've made a change, and now they're only showing the first two lines of your summary. So when I land on your profile, that's the one thing I'm going to see is just the first two lines. So the recommendation today is to put a call to action or some kind of a hook in those first two lines. You really want to make it engaging and interesting, make them want to read more and know more about you. We also recommend that you put it in the first person. So again, thinking about LinkedIn as a giant networking opportunity, if I were to go to a local chamber event, how would I introduce myself face-to-face, shaking hands with someone? You want to use that same style of writing, talking about I and me and the things that I am or who I am and what I do and how I help people. This is an example of my headline, and if you look at, this is what it looks like now. I'm not sure if you're on the new interface yet or not, but this is, everyone will be migrated to the new interface probably this year, I would think. So if you notice, it has two full lines. If you look all the way to the right, there's an ellipsis there. It just kind of lops off whatever you're typing, whatever you've written. You can play with that if you want it to fit exactly so that you've got just enough words and enough characters so that it fits two full lines that people can read. So now what people have to do is click on this link, this live link that says See More. Then it opens up the rest of your summary for full viewing. You have 2,000 characters to work with, but because of this change, really the first two lines are probably the most important and the things you want to pay the most attention to. In regards to work history, we recommend that you limit your job experiences to 3 or 4. It used to be that you put your whole resume out there when the tool was more of a job search type of a tool. Because it's not anymore, it's really become more of a place for professionals to interact. You really don't want to list more than 3 or 4. I have no doubt that you were an amazing pizza delivery person back in high school, but to be perfectly honest, nobody really cares. What I recommend is that you focus on things that are relevant to what you're doing right now. for example, if you were in healthcare for 20 years, you left that field and you're now a healthcare writer, then obviously that experience is relevant and it's going to give you credibility. The thing that you want to be careful about is putting job experiences on there too far back. So you want to be thinking about, age is important. For me, I don't have all of my jobs by any means listed because I've had a lot. So for me, it would just be, I think, cumbersome to read through. And I want the most current experience and the stuff that's most relevant to be at the top. The other thing that to keep in mind when you're putting your job experiences on LinkedIn is to be really brief. Highlight your major accomplishments only. Being brief, meaning that people are skimmers and scanners. They're not going to read paragraphs anymore, especially online. So you want it to be really brief and to really be impactful. A great tip is to just use bullet points in that section. Calls attention to the important things, allows people to skim through it quickly and really understand who you are. The next topic I'm going to dive into is etiquette, and this is such an important area in regards to best practices. It's, again, encouraging you to think about if you were to go to a networking event, how would you act and how would you interact with people? So the number one thing is no selling. LinkedIn really is a networking. It's a place for connection and to get to know potential clients, but not to sell to them. So be careful about the language that you use everywhere, whether it's writing your summary, whether it's interacting with people. You just want to be careful not to be too self-promotional. This is where the strategy comes in as well, thinking about who I'm going to be connecting to. Are you going to want to receive spammy kind of email on LinkedIn? Not really. So you really need to be just incorporating who am I going to be talking to, who am I going to be trying to reach out to. Inviting right. So there's to invite someone to connect with you, there's a couple different ways to do it. I'm going to share with you here in the next couple slides examples of good ways to connect with people. And then another tip to keep in mind is to follow up with everyone who's accepted your invite. Absolutely follow up with a follow-up message to them. Again, I'm going to show you that in just a slide or two, what that looks like. I think the most important thing to think about in regards to this particular platform is that everything you do sends a message, from the photo you have on your profile to the language you use to how you interact with people. It really does send a message. And as a solopreneur, as a freelancer, all of that counts. All of that matters. It's that first impression that you want to make sure you nail. So this is a search that I did, and I took a quick snapshot of a search that I did. So you see there's four people that have come up here, and you see all these connect buttons on the right-hand side here. I recommend that you not use connect buttons when you see a row of them like this. And the reason being is that if I were to click on one of these connect buttons, LinkedIn would go ahead and send a pre-canned message to that person on there without my ability to customize the message. So it just sends it out and it really doesn't give me a chance to make any kind of a connection with that person. The best way to connect with people is to go directly to their profile. When you see their photo, you see their headline, all the details about them, you'll see that big blue connect button right in the middle. When you click that now, it's going to pop up this screen that allows you to add a note. And when you select add a note, that's when you can actually customize the invitation. You now have 300 characters to work with, and you can really have some fun with this, but also be very, very effective in the things that you say in this type of a situation. One thing that I do want to show you is that sometimes you'll go to a profile, and in this case, the only option I had here with this lady was to follow her. And so this might be the case with a third level connection. What I recommend is that you, if you go to just to the right of her photo are the three little dots. It looks like an ellipsis. When you click on that, this drop down shows up, and usually the connect option is somewhere in there for you to select. So it's just a little bit of a workaround. You got to dig a little deeper to find a way to connect with her, but typically you can. So let's talk about inviting right. And this is an example of, this is my go-to template. I have written this and sent it to hundreds of people, literally, over the last I would say 6 months or so. I spend a lot of time on LinkedIn and I'm reaching out to people all the time, doing my homework out there, but I use this almost exact same thing every single time. And there's a reason for that. It's because I'm looking to make a meaningful connection. So if this is the first interaction that a person has with me, I want to make sure that they understand why I'm reaching out and why I think it would be a benefit for us to connect. Again, came across your profile because I do a lot of work with women leaders, see that we have a lot of connections in common, thought we'd benefit from being connected. You need to find, obviously, the language that works for you, for the audience that you're approaching, but I'm looking to connect on a level that's just different from, hi, I'd like you to join my network. You want it to be different and you want it to get their attention. Couple more examples for you of ones that I have used. Jana, she was recognized. I saw her at Boston Business Journal, woman to watch. So this is the invite I sent to her. Another one, I saw an article on posted in the Huffington Post, saw this woman, Adriana. Looks like we both share a passion for helping women. Again, some kind of a meaningful connection. And then Kim, this was kind of neat. She was traveling in Singapore and posted on LinkedIn. And I thought, that's interesting. I looked at her. Turns out she was connected to one of my existing clients, and so I reached out to her as well. The cool thing about this, one point I want to make, is that all four of these ladies were completely cold invites. I did not know them. I had no connection to them whatsoever. 100% of them responded and accepted my invitation from these invites. So I think that it matters to make an important, some type of a connection. And as you can see, I customized each one a little bit. But I think it's helpful to really give them a reason and help them to get to know you a little bit before they accept. So it does work. And then this is an example of, again, the template that I send out. All four of the women that I invited on the other page received this message after they accepted my invitation. And it's very, very simple and straightforward. Thanks for connecting. Please don't hesitate if I can reach out. Please don't hesitate to reach out if I can be of help to you. So what I want to do is position myself as a resource to them. And I don't want to sell. I don't want to be pushy. I just want them to know I'm here for you if you need me. One of the things that makes this particular extra step so powerful is that of the 467 million people on LinkedIn, almost no one does this. So if you're looking to stand out, most of the LinkedIn gurus that are out there right now are talking about this. This is something that you're, no matter who you listen to about LinkedIn, this is what they're teaching, is, you know, close the loop. Some people are a little more aggressive in this particular follow-up. They might say, geez, I'd love to set time to meet with you. Do what's comfortable for you, do what works for you, but definitely find a way to follow up and give them a reason to remember you and to think of you. So what I want to share with you now is an actual case study. And this is, again, something that I sent to this woman, Jamie. This was a complete cold invite that I sent out. We're both connected to Sue and Marnie, and I thought we'd benefit from connecting. Sue is a colleague of mine from a previous job, and Marnie is a client of mine, actually a former client of mine. I used both of their names because it's the truth. We are connected to those two same women. But also, I was comfortable that both Sue and Marnie would say something good about me, something positive, if Jamie were to reach out to them for some reason before accepting my invite. So just a little extra tidbit there. I will say who we're connected to, who we share in common. I've only had it backfire once in all the times that I've used this. So kind of interesting. But this was Monday, February 20th, when I sent this to Jamie. She got back to me the same day with this. Coincidentally, I've been starting to interview ghostwriters to help me move into the next phase of my career. Would you be available on Friday? Well, absolutely, Jamie. Great timing for me. Thank you. I would be happy to meet with you on Friday. So I sent her this follow-up. She booked time with me on February 24th, just a couple weeks ago. We had a great meeting. And on Tuesday, she accepted my proposal for an $8,500 project. This doesn't happen every day. But the fact that it happens is, to me, worth all of the time and effort that I put in to utilizing LinkedIn. This really can happen. And I'm going to show you a few more ways to find people like this, to find the right leads. This was just great timing. So I was really happy that I was active on LinkedIn to be able to take advantage of this opportunity. So this is the part where we really dig into how do we find these people? How do we find the Jamies of the world and connect with them? There's a lot of different ways to use LinkedIn to find the right leads, but I'm going to share with you some of the things that work have worked the best for me. The number one thing that has worked really well for me in regards to LinkedIn is knowing my buyer persona cold. I took the time and the effort to really fine-tune my buyer persona. And it looks something like this. I'm looking for women founders, CEOs. They're leading small teams, so their companies aren't super big. And they might be between 40 and 60 years old. This is my buyer persona. There's more detail to it than this, but I wanted to give you a sense of what I was, what I fine-tuned for myself. That way, when I go on LinkedIn, I'm not wasting time reaching out to every woman CEO on the planet because I'm not going to be able to help all of them. I find that I fit best with this type of a demographic and with this type of a profile. A couple of other things to utilize, really get the most out of LinkedIn is to understand the search. This is an area that has changed a lot with the new user interface. And one of the things that has become, has come back, they've taken away some of the functionality of the search that was in the old version, and now they've limited it. So now you're going to need to use Boolean search. And if you're not familiar with that, or if you're a little rusty like I was, you're going to want to take some time to learn Boolean search. And it looks similar to this, where you're basically, you're perhaps looking for a creative director in the Boston area or whatever area you're in. Boolean search is just creating strings that you then cut and paste. You could cut and paste it into LinkedIn to bring up search results. So it's a little more cumbersome. They may be changing that again. This is one of those go with the flow things, but this is the best way to work with it right now that I can find. Another great place to find leads is your profile. If you go into LinkedIn, you'll see that you may be notified that a number of people have viewed your profile. I use that as an excuse. If someone has viewed my profile, I go and look at them to see if they're a potential lead. And if they are, I immediately reach out and invite them to connect with me and kind of go from there. Another place to find leads is likes and comments on your posts. So when you post someone else's article, share an article from perhaps a news source somewhere, or write your own article and put it out there. If someone likes it or comments, you can see who that is. And again, if they're interested in what I'm sharing or what I'm saying, I definitely want to reach out to them. So those are great places to find really good leads. Groups are absolute gold, and I'm going to dig in the next two slides and really show you and help you understand how groups work on LinkedIn. There's definitely some commentary out there right now. Groups are kind of, you know, I'm not sure if they're if LinkedIn is doing that great of a job with them and so on. Regardless of what you think about groups, the next couple slides will help you understand how I utilize them right now and how they can be utilized. And I would recommend, you know what, take advantage of everything that's out there right now. Groups are really interesting because they are sort of like, if you think about any kind of a professional organization, so think about groups on LinkedIn the same way you would think about maybe a professional accountants association or something along those lines. So one thing I will share with you, I put up a little red star here. I'm going to show you how to see who's viewed your profile in case you don't know how to do that. When I'm done with the slide deck, we're going to go live to LinkedIn and I'll walk you through a couple of things. And that's one of them. So groups. One of the things that I did, I went to LinkedIn and I literally typed in the word groups in the search bar and I hit send, and this is what came up for me. And right now on LinkedIn, there are over 2 million groups on LinkedIn. What I liked about the search results here and what I wanted to share with you was that these are about as diverse as they could be. There are over 2 million groups and therefore, there is a group for everything on LinkedIn. So this is everything from digital marketing to human resources to SEO specialists. So if your potential clients are a certain, perhaps have a certain area of interest, I recommend that you go to LinkedIn and you search for groups that would be talking about that type of thing. If you look at the very first one here is digital marketing, and I happen to be a member of that group. as a free account, you can join up to 100 groups, which is kind of neat. Why do we care? I want to just point these out to you right here. These are the current number of members in those groups. If you look at this digital marketing one, over 1 million members. That's amazing. That's a huge group. But why do we care? Well, going back to our concentric circles in our network, where do you think group members fit in? So if I ask to be a part of digital marketing and they accept me into the group, which 99% of the time they will accept you, all that 1.1 million people end up right here. So I have now taken all those people that are interested in digital marketing and brought them much, much, much closer to me. So again, when I do a search or when they're doing a search, all of a sudden we have a relationship because we are both in the same group. So groups can be really powerful. Look for the ones that work for you in terms of the people that you're targeting, the types of people or companies that you're targeting or topics that you're targeting. There's definitely groups out there for you to join. Don't, a lot of people tend to join groups where maybe their colleagues are, and that's okay to do that. But I strongly recommend that you really focus more on groups that where your clients and your potential clients are spending time. The other thing that's amazing is if you write an article or share any kind of information, perhaps news from a news source, you can share it within a group, and all of that 1.1 million people that are in that group will see your name and your article. So it's a great way to get in front of the right eyeballs. There's a lot of value in groups. The other thing that I want to share with you, this is a point that I think people tend to forget. And with the new interface, this is kind of a new section on a person's profile. So let's say that we find someone that we're interested in reaching out to. They might be a potential client. You want to leverage their activity. If you scroll down on their profile, you will come to a section called Articles and Activity. And so this particular section is split down the middle. So you've got the left-hand side, which is their articles, and then the right-hand side, which is their activity. And I want to call your attention, first of all, to the left-hand side where it says articles. Oftentimes, I look here to see, are they already posting articles? These are ones that they've actually written. This is my client, Amy Slater. She's written articles, and she's actually posted them on LinkedIn. What I love to look for here is an opportunity. I will click on that to see what she's writing about, but I also like to see what's the date pattern. And what I mean by that is that, so someone starts out and in January they post two articles, in February they post two articles, in March they only posted one. And then June rolled around, they finally posted another. And then maybe September, October. So they had all this enthusiasm in January, started up gangbusters, and just trickled off. To me, that means, A, they get it. They absolutely understand the value of writing and being a thought leader. But that other things have become a priority. They probably could use my help. If we look at the other side of this, where the activity is, this is really cool. I mean, you can see what people are interested in. You can see the articles that Amy is reading and what if she's liked it. So you can click on that link at the bottom, see all activity, and look at all the articles that she's been following that she's showing interest in. If you have not taken Ed's warm email course, it is a free bonus as part of 2X. I strongly recommend it because it talks all about meaningful connection and how to utilize information like this as the basis to reach out to somebody. So if you found a really great potential lead on LinkedIn, you could do some research, see what they're interested in, and then use that as the basis to reach out to them. So it's kind of a cool tool for research. Another way to find leads is one of my favorites. I call it OPC, Other People's Connections. And this is kind of a cool thing. This is where the strategy comes in. And I've mentioned the word strategy a couple of times. So for me, I'm interested in women leaders and CEOs. So the kind of people that I want to be connected to might be someone like a business coach who works with CEOs and entrepreneurs. Because the people they're connected to who are in their network are mostly going to be people that I might want to reach out to that could be my clients as well. Number one, they're calling on the same people I am. Number two, if a person is using a business coach, then they already understand the value of bringing in an outside professional to help them with what they're doing. So it's a real double bonus for me. So I look for coaches. I also look for, in my particular case, I look for women who are running women's organizations. So there might be an entrepreneurs or a business organization in a particular region of the country. I'll look to see who's heading it up. She's probably going to be connected to the same kind of people that I want to be connected to and that I want to be targeting. So when it comes to strategy, you want to think about who else is calling on my clients besides me that might be a good connection for me. So when it comes to using other people's connections, two things have to happen. That individual has to be a first level connection. So you see here Ed's profile, and he and I are first level connections. And if you look to the right, I've highlighted the link. The second thing that has to be in place is that in Ed's privacy settings, he's had to allow all of his first level connections to see his network. You have the option to either turn this on or turn this off. It's up to you. Mine is open. I have 1,500 connections. I don't know how many Ed has. I'm sure it's in the thousands. But I can turn that off and prevent people from seeing it, or I can open it up. For me, it doesn't matter. I use this as a means to find leads, but this is a really great way. Once I've connected with Ed, and let's say he was a business coach, this is great. So now I go over here and I click on that because that's a live link, the thing I've highlighted. And when I do that, it pops up this box and I can scroll through all of Ed's connections. Really powerful stuff. A quick tip that just makes this a little bit easier. Yes, this can be a little cumbersome, but what I do is if I'm ready and I'm going to carve out, say, the next half hour to go through Ed's connections, I'll grab a piece of paper, a sheet of paper and a pen, and I actually handwrite, I'll scroll through and handwrite, okay, Chuck Reynolds, and then I might jot down his company or something else about him so that I can then find him on an independent search. The reason that I do that is because these are all live links. So if you look down to the third gentleman here, Dan Tamir, perhaps I'm interested in finding out more about him. I could click on his name right here, and it would take me to his profile. But even if I use the back button, it will not get me back to exactly where I was in this display. So I like to kind of scroll through the whole thing, pick out the people that I'm most interested in, and then go and do an independent search on my own. So this is kind of a cool thing. And again, I'll show you when we go to LinkedIn Live at the end of the presentation. We'll jump on LinkedIn and I'll show you how to set this privacy setting for yourself. And also, this is just a great thing to keep in mind. So the next thing I want to show you is company pages. And company pages are different from your personal page. As an individual solopreneur, as a freelancer, your profile is sufficient, and if it's done well, it's going to do all the heavy lifting for you. You do not need to have your own company page. But a large organization like L.L. Bean or some other organization perhaps that you're calling on and trying to get into, they're going to have their own company page. And for big organizations, it's a great tool for them. So the cool thing about company pages is that it shows you the information about the company, but it also tells you, if you look here, you'll see I have two people, two connections that work at L.L. Bean. And then there's just to the right of that, it says see all 2,700 employees. So I can then click on that live link, and LinkedIn brings up a list. It's like searching, but just within L.L. Bean. So now I can see all of the people that work for L.L. Bean, and I can scroll through here and look for the titles that I'm most interested in, and I can also see, am I connected to them in any way? In this particular case, Wendy and Alex are both colleagues of mine, people I've known for a long time. But the next person down is Stephen Smith. He's the CEO. There's a couple different ways that I could take advantage of this. I could reach out to him, say, I see we have 10 shared connections. We should be best friends, and see if he responds. I could ask Wendy to introduce me, and perhaps via LinkedIn or via email. So there's a couple different ways that you could approach it, but at least it gives you a chance to see, am I already connected to anyone at my target company? And if not, then I can scroll through all the people in the company who currently work there. And it's just a little easier way if you're really targeting specific companies in particular. And then the last tip I have for you today is about finding emails the easy way. And if you've gone through Ed's warm email class, he gives some really great tips about finding emails, going out and doing searches to find emails online. I came across this extension called Contact Out. I've been using it for at least 6 months. And you absolutely have to have Chrome. You have to use Chrome because it is a Chrome extension and it plugs into your Chrome. And it overlays LinkedIn. And this is really interesting. I'm going to show you an example here. This is, a screenshot of a woman that I was interested in connecting with. I found her profile. And if you notice, Contact Out kind of hangs off to the right-hand side. And it shows you a couple of things. It shows you, it looks for the name and the company. And so you'll see that in the white bars. Up above, most of the time when people set up their LinkedIn accounts, they use some kind of an alternate email, like a Gmail or a Yahoo account, something like that, to set up their email. What Contact Out does is it actually goes out into the onto the internet and it looks for that person's email. So if I click on the find more emails in the gray box, this is what it does. It brings up Deborah's email address at her current company. It's not a perfect tool. One thing that I do want to tell you is it's free, which I'm blown away by. I've been using it for months and it's free. It's not perfect. There are times when I've taken these email addresses and tried to send someone an email and it's bounced back. But for the most part, most of the time, it's accurate. One thing, I'm just going to back up here because I want to point one thing out. If you look on the top right-hand side, it says 69 credits. As soon as I press the find more emails, it drops down to 68 credits. I have no idea how that works because sometimes I log in and I'm back up to 100 credits. I've never run out of credits. I have no idea how it works. So I'm not an expert on it. I just know that it's a really great tool and an easy way to find emails. So just a helpful tip for you. And it is free. That is correct. So what we've talked about today is a mindset shift. I really hope that seeing some of the things that I do, seeing some of the things that are working is helping you to think a little bit differently about LinkedIn. Consistency. I can't stress enough how important it is to get on LinkedIn every day, be active, be present. It's really important to show that you're paying attention and you're not asleep at the wheel. Smart connections. I'm hoping that you understand what it means to connect with the right people and to bring your leads closer to you and bring them into your network. And really and truly go with the flow. LinkedIn is a work in progress. Since Microsoft bought them last year, a lot has changed. I suspect a lot more will be changing as we go through the next evolution of LinkedIn. But I really recommend spend some time, get to know the tool, and use it for what it's worth as a free tool today. So if we're ready, we can go play on LinkedIn. And I'm going to go ahead and open up for questions too. Hold on, if I can figure out how to do it. All right, so I've unmuted everybody and I went really fast through that. So I'm going to go on LinkedIn now and show you how to do some of these things. But if you have questions, I think, Ed, perhaps you can just kind of field questions for people. Maybe we can just kind of go around.
Yeah, I have a suggestion, Susan. Why don't we actually mute everybody, and then if you have a question, go ahead and type in people individually. Otherwise, you know, with the background noise and what, 8 people on, it might be too much.
Okay. So, and I did see some people post some things in the chat. I didn't have a chance to look at it. So,
So for the slideshow was lagging for Kate. I saw that she logged back in a couple of times. So hopefully it got corrected.
Okay.
And Kate, like I said, it's, so we're recording it. And I know the recording, I shouldn't say I know, I'm pretty sure the recording will be right on in terms of timing. So, if it was really bad, and I apologize.
Oh, really?
Check that out. But it looks like it was on her end from what I, you know, Ted said it was fine on his end. It was fine on my end.
Okay. Great.
So anyway, yeah. So if you got a question, just say, you know, I have a question.
Okay.
We can bring you on.
Great. Well, I'm going to go ahead and just show you a couple of things that are, I think, just the things that I touched on during the presentation that I want to show you. One of the most important things to understand about LinkedIn is privacy settings. And so when you want to adjust your privacy settings, you're going to go to the little that little icon picture of yourself up at the top in the top bar to the right of the search. And when you click on that, it's going to drop down a couple of different options. And so settings and privacy are where you want to go. This is an area that in the workshops that I do when I travel, we spend a fair amount of time on privacy. There's a lot to understand here. I'm not going to go through all of it, but I want to show you just a couple of quick things that I think are important for you to know. There's three different tabs: account, privacy, and communication. Account is just the basics there's a lot of different things. I do recommend spend 15 minutes, 20 minutes going through all of these so that you can understand what's underneath each one. Privacy is where you can make changes to how things happen, who can see your profile, how they see it, and that type of thing. This is where who can see your connections. As I mentioned, if you click on change, so you can show all of your connections or only you. This is that on or off button when I was talking about other people's connections. Ed, yours is open. Mine is open. Simply because it doesn't matter to me. I don't mind sharing the people that I know. Some of the clients that I work with are absolutely want that shut down. Some people are very, you know, really want to protect their network. So it's very much a personal choice, but that's how you do it. There is another thing that I wanted to show you. So there's blocking, there's hiding, there's data privacy, lots of things here. I recommend you take the time to go through and make sure sharing data with third parties, I have that set to no. Advertising preferences, I've had that set to no. These are just things where they could take your photo and use it in an ad. They can find stock images. They don't need to use me. So basically there's just things that you can go in there and set if you have concerns about that. And then communication is another place where you can set email frequency of how the emails that you receive from LinkedIn, how often and that kind of thing, who can send you invitations, messages from members, all this stuff you can change in here. So there's a lot of things to go through. Again, I don't want to spend a lot of time going through them right now, but those were probably the most important. Let me just see. There was one other thing that I wanted to show you. Two-step verification. If you're concerned about someone hacking your account, you can turn that on so that you have to give both a password and perhaps your, maybe your phone number or something like that. So you can add a two-step verification if you're concerned. That's actually a reasonably new feature with LinkedIn. All right.
And Susan, we have a couple of questions.
Great.
So we can take them whenever you want.
All right.
Ted actually said he has a question, so if you can unmute him.
Let me see if I can figure out how to do that. Ted, hold on. Unmute. Yeah. Ted, you're on. What can I help you with?
Hi, Susan. This is wonderful. I learned so much today. Thank you so much for putting this on.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Great.
If you ever give up your day job, you could just do this
full time. I
know. Yeah. I actually have a few questions. I know everybody has a lot. So let me start with one to begin.
Okay.
And you had mentioned paid accounts and benefits or non-benefits of that. And I've kind of gone back and forth on whether I should spend the money on that. The one thing I have seen with paid accounts is that you're able to view or see who's viewing your profile, even people who want to keep their identities hidden.
Yes.
Do you see that as a good benefit, and are there other benefits as well that may make it worthwhile?
So yes, I do see that as a benefit. The way that it works, and my understanding is that with a free account, you can see the last five people that have viewed your account, that have viewed your profile. with a paid account, you can see the last, I think it's over the last 90 days, anyone who has viewed your profile. So there's a big difference there. If you're doing things actively on LinkedIn to attract attention with the right eyeballs, then it might be worth it. I have the premium business, which is $60 a month. I think it's a ridiculous amount of money, to be perfectly honest, for what I get, based on only because I was spoiled. The old LinkedIn version gave you a lot more features. The new LinkedIn version, they've really ratcheted that down. They've really eliminated a lot of features. What they want you to do is actually invest in the sales navigator level, which is closer to $100 a month. It's a very personal choice, and it depends on how you use LinkedIn. When it came right down to it, I sat back and I thought, you know what, where am I getting all my leads? I'm getting almost 100% of my leads on LinkedIn. Is it worth 60 bucks a month? All right, uncle, I'm doing it. So, you know, for me, I use the tool. I'm logged into LinkedIn every single day. I'm in here probably minimum 2 hours a day, seeing what's going on and interacting with people. So it's an important part of my sales funnel. So it's worth the 60 bucks to me. It's entirely up to you. I think that what they've done is the $60 range doesn't get you a ton more. They really want to get you into that more expensive sales navigator level. That's where you get to save. It acts more like a true CRM tool, so you can tag people and you can set reminders and you can create special lists. So let's say I want to call these 20 people today. I can go into my LinkedIn and pull up that list for today, that kind of thing. So it's really more of a CRM tool than it used to be. And that's the push right now with Microsoft's influence. That's where they're headed with that.
And Susan, I have a question about that. Have you noticed the search features between Business Premium and Sales Navigator? I understand the tagging and the CRM, but do you know how, because they took the advanced search capabilities on the free version, which I mean, see, that is the killer right there for us.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're using LinkedIn as part of your warm email prospecting process, which you should, then that's out now.
Yep. So let me show you this. I have the $60 level, which is premium. I have lost that same functionality too, which I'll tell you, I was this close to just like ditching. I had been using premium for a while because I really liked it. And then with the new upgrade, I was rather disappointed. So I don't have any of those premium. My understanding is that they all come back and you have more premium type search features at the sales navigator level.
And I can show that screen, but show me what you have. So you have...
So this is my screen down here. I can search people with filters. This is what I changed it to. And let's just bring that up and I'll show you what it looks like. So it automatically brings up just everybody I know. 5 million people. Yeah, right. That's not right.
But if I wanted to find a marketing manager at L.L. Bean.
Yeah. So I can do that. So I can make a couple of selections here if I want. You know, I don't care about first. If they're first, I might already know them. But now I can go ahead and put in keywords. I can put in a name, a title, a company. I can put in location. So some of them have come back. The thing that I don't know how to do, so if you look down here, it says want better to better focus your search, upgrade to Sales Navigator or Recruiter.
That's, of course.
You know, that's exactly. That's they're all about making money. It's inevitable that this was going to change. The one thing that I really miss is that I could, with the old style, was to actually fill this information in, set all of these parameters, and then save the search so that I could go back to it more than once. I don't think there's any way to do that anymore, as far as I know. I don't think you can save a search. And that's why I was talking about with a base free account, Boolean search is going to be one of the best ways for you to find people, is to actually type in the parameters. But then what I recommend is that you copy and paste that into a Word document on your desktop so that you don't, once you put the effort into building a Boolean string, save it. And so you can use it again and again and go back to it. You used to be able to save up to three searches, distinct searches with a free account. That is gone from both the free and the first level of premium. So you can still do a lot of the stuff, you just can't save it.
But and you'll reach your commercial limit very quickly for searching. That's the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So on the free level.
That's correct. Yeah.
So Susan, this is Ted again. Just to clarify then, with the free account, do you still have the ability to do a filtered search? It just doesn't save your searches, or has that functionality gone away?
Great question. I don't think you have the functionality that is showing here on my screen. But I honestly have not had a free account in over 6 months, so I honestly don't know. You could go in and look. You know, like I showed you, if you start typing here, or you put at least your mouse here, all the way down at the bottom, it says search for people with filters. See if you have that.
Right.
If you click on it, what'll happen is it's gonna then bring up these options over here, filtering by people. You might not have any of these options with a free, I don't know. If you would message me or email me and let me know, that would be great, because I honestly don't know. I don't have a free account.
Yeah, let us know, Ted, because I'm wondering too. I have heard that you do not have that anymore on the free level.
Really?
Which would be that's bad. That's really bad.
Well, it just makes it more cumbersome. It definitely makes it more cumbersome.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Hold on. Let me do this.
And do you want me to read you to make it easier? Sure. Questions from others?
Sure.
So let's see. Mar says, I've recently downloaded my LinkedIn data, but have yet to put it in a CRM system. But people might not know that that's an option.
Yes, that's correct. So one of the things that you can do is go to your, I believe it's in your neural network. And I apologize because I am still learning the new, let me see if I can figure out how to do that. But you can basically see all of your connections. And this, by the way, is where you go also. Let me just go back one. So this is, if you just hit my network across the top bar, this is where you can go to see who's viewed your profile. So let me see. These are just suggestions of people that you should connect with. But I'm going to go here. Let me see. Because I did this recently, Mars, as well, where I exported my all of my connections. And then I exported them into an Excel spreadsheet. And then I took the time and went through and got rid of the ones that weren't pertinent necessarily, might be from an old job or something like that. And I just basically scrubbed it. And then I uploaded it into my CRM tool. Let me see. I think it's here. And I apologize because I am drawing a blank here on how to do it. Mars, are you on? I'm going to see if I can find you because I'm drawing a blank on how to do that. And I think that's Mars. I think I have you on. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, where did you go? Because I'm drawing a blank here on how to export. And my screen is a little funky because I have the Zoom stuff overlaid, so I'm struggling to find the export.
I don't remember. Usually when I get deep into something, I just do it, and I know it really well for about 2 seconds, and I complete my task, and I forget.
I know, me too.
But I'm sure I did it via the Help Center, and they probably had explicit directions at the time.
Yeah, it's very, very easy for some reason. Finder advertise,
and it does come in two pieces. Like I have my first version, and then another one came 24 hours later. But I have not worked with the data as you described yourself.
Right.
I looked this up. I don't know. This is the old interface or the new one. It says go to LinkedIn, click on connections, then click the settings cog.
Yeah. See, that's.
But I think that was the old.
Imported, synced.
Yeah. I got my data, my first email back from them March 8th, so it was fairly recent. So I'm no genius, so it must have had fairly current instructions somewhere within the last month. Yep.
Oh, I actually found the page where, okay, so it's linkedin.com/people/export-settings.
Yep. And I also found it too while we were talking. So this is, I clicked on manage your synced and imported contacts.
Yeah.
I don't have any synced contacts, but over here, it gives me the option to export. And you're right, Mars. What they do is, because I did this recently too, probably 2 months ago maybe. And so they send it to you in two chunks, because if your database, if you have a lot of contacts, it's a bit of work for them. But then they send you an email like either the same day or the next day.
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
All right. So Kate asks, when cold searching, are there any titles you like most? Most receptive decision makers by title.
Cool.
I guess, you know, so first of all, it depends on who you're going after, right? You're going after women leaders. So you're looking at CEOs, founders, et cetera.
Right.
You know, I'm going after marketing managers, marketing directors. That's typically going to be in corporate America, your best bet, depending on the size of the company. Any other insights there?
No, I think it's a matter of how you approach them more than title. You know, I talked a little bit about the different ways that I invite people. I think that if the warmer you can create the connection up front, that invite, the better chance you're going to have. I find that, you know, I've found something that works for me, and I try to utilize that consistently. I have really good luck with people accepting my invites just because of the way I write it. If it's something that, especially with someone who's got a title, if you think that approaching them with a little bit of ego stroking is a good thing, then try that. You know, like I saw that woman in the Boston Business Journal, so I reached out to her based on that. It really depends on what you are interested, you know, who it is and who, what do you think is going to work the best. And Tim actually, thanks Tim, he's put in, he says, I have a free account and search with filters is available, by the way.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's awesome. Thank you, Tim.
So what I think then you will still hit with a free account is you'll hit your commercial search limit pretty quickly. You know, if you're using this to warm you a prospect after, you know, 10, 20, nobody really knows, searches in a certain period of time, it kind of like closes it out for you. It won't let you keep searching that way.
Yep. There is another question here. Yep. So there's a couple questions about the incoming invites. Definitely, as I mentioned, be really, really selective. I ignore people that I don't know. If I don't have at least if we don't have at least one mutual connection, I usually don't. I just ignore them. I don't report them as spam, but I'm really careful about who is inviting me and how to connect. And then somebody asked about, and hold on, I'm going to go back to my, because you're asking, someone was just asking about how to embed video. So what you want to do is go and click on your own profile when you see it. And this is where I would go to edit. And this is where I would change. So just a couple of things. If I want to update my background photo, if I want to change my edit anything here on my profile, this is where I'd go to do it. And you just click the pencil and it allows you to make the changes. This is what it looks like. And then just hit save. Just FYI. So there's a couple different places that you can embed media. One is in the top summary, and I have two pieces of media embedded there. So this is my summary, and when you click it, you have to click it to open it. You can it allows you to add media, and I am looking to see. Because you can add a bunch. I just did this for a client of mine, as a matter of fact. You can also add media to your job, to each position. So let's say I wrote a great white paper and I wanted it to be here under my executive ghostwriter. Or maybe I did something really great in one of these other places and I want that media to be relevant or associated with that particular job. I could do it there. If I click on it, let me see. Link to media or upload. So it's again, I'm still learning this new platform too. It used to be a little different, but now you have a couple of options here. So I can add it there. And it should do the same thing for you in here. And I'm not sure why that's not. No, that's just showing that. Okay, never mind. Okay. And I do want to go back. This little arrow up here in the right-hand corner is my contact out. I'm going to pull that out for you, and then I'm going to go find somebody. I'm going to go find Edge.
You're back to 80 credits. You're right.
Yeah, see it popped by. Isn't that bizarre? I have no idea how this tool works, but it's awesome. So what it does is as soon as it shows the new person that you're looking at, it allows you. So when I click on show, it's going to take one of my credits. All right. Mm-hmm. But it gives me all the different, but it shows me the Twitter. I can go and look for more. Let me find one other that I just, let's see, most of these people I'm connected to already. Let me see. I'm trying to think of, I think I'm connected to Neha. Unavailable. So once in a while it does this, but if you click on find emails anyway, this is cool. I can look to see, this is all of the, these are all of the places she has worked that she has listed on her profile, this particular individual. So I could go down here and ask it to look for emails with this woman's name at this particular organization. If for some reason the person does not have their organization's website listed, you can actually manually type it in here. So, you know, it's something like that. And go, and it will then look for her name with that URL. So you can freeform type, which is even more cool. If for some reason they don't have their company name in there the right way, some people don't have their LinkedIn profile set up properly. But then you could go ahead and click find work email, and it'll go out and look. Sometimes you have to just play with it a little bit to get it to work, but it's a pretty cool tool. And then you can save the profile. I do not do that. I've never really used it. But then you can go back and it stores, I don't know how many, because I don't actually use that functionality. I just take the email as is. So
Kate and had a similar question to Tim's, but it goes to something you said early in the presentation regarding accepting invitations, and yes. She said that she used to get a lot of trolls trying to connect with her. So now, you know, things change. Is it better to accept more? And what you said earlier is assuming it's a relevant contact and obviously not a creeper or a troll, it's better to have more contacts that are relevant than not.
Absolutely.
Because it expands your network exponentially.
Correct. And in reverse too. So when I was talking about it being reciprocal, so that as soon as I become a part of your network, anyone in your network who's looking for a ghostwriter, if they type in ghostwriter, I'm going to come up. So it works both directions. It's not, you know, we tend to think of it just being outbound where, now I have more people come up in my search. It means that I come up in searches more often for the right people too. So connecting is, it's all about strategy. I can't stress that enough. Make sure that you're connecting with the right people. And again, I don't always connect with people that are potentially going to be my clients. I might be looking to reach out to business, business coaches and executive coaches, because they're dealing with the people I want to get in front of. So, you know, it's, and I, as I mentioned, I do not accept invites from everyone. I get a lot of invites from guys in India, believe it or not, almost one a week. And I can't, I have no idea who this person is. I have no idea how he found me. I just ignore those. I did a couple years ago have a guy, I was in ages ago in a different lifetime, I was a recruiter, believe it or not. I was in staffing. So I spent a lot of time on LinkedIn looking for people, and just, you know, when you're a recruiter, it's crazy because you're just reaching out to everybody. It doesn't matter who they are. You don't really, you know, you're looking for to fill jobs, to fill openings. So a guy reached out to me, invited me to connect. I said yes. And then he started sending me emails about how I was the most beautiful woman he'd ever seen. And I was like, what? Like, really? All right. So I forwarded that. I think I did a screenshot or something, and I sent it to LinkedIn, and they eliminated him immediately. There's definitely people out there that are misusing LinkedIn, but I think that that number has shrunk dramatically. I don't think that there's, Yeah, you're still going to get creepers. That's why I said that in the beginning of the presentation. There's creepers out there. So just got to be careful.
So Morris wanted to know if you posted a lead magnet on LinkedIn, so that kind of media on your page, if you can gate it. So if you can request, they have to opt in to get it, or no. Is it straight? Okay.
It's straight. If it's there, they can see it. They can have access to it.
Can you tell who downloaded it or who viewed it?
No.
Play that? Okay.
No. But one thing I will tell you is something that's really important. If you're not doing this and you're a writer, it's really important to use LinkedIn as a platform for writing. So I have over 1,500 followers just from posting articles. Some of these people I've never met. I don't know who they are. They're different from the people that I'm connected to. My followers are different from my connections.
So how did you get there? How did you find out your followers?
Right here. All right, I'll go back home. If you have posted any kind of articles, okay. So here's the number of people that have viewed my profile. Here's the number of people that have viewed my article. If I click on views of my articles, then it tells me right over here in the sidebar that I have over 1,500 followers.
That's a lot, and that's just from publishing on LinkedIn.
That's correct, yeah. So the other thing that's cool is LinkedIn is doing more, more metrics and analytics on your posts. I try to post every other week, and I will, sometimes I'll post, like in this particular case, I didn't write this article, but it was really interesting. I got 3 likes, but I got comments. I got people writing back to me. Really interesting. So I don't always just put my own work out there. I'm putting other people's work out there. And that's where I think followers come from too. They're just interested in what you're talking about.
Man, that's huge. You're reaching people who would have normally not heard about you.
That's correct. Far more than my website ever would.
That's amazing. Yeah, and by the way, this goes to the point that I've been trying I'm just beating this dead horse over the past few months. If you start a newsletter, don't look at it as a chore. Look at it as the beginning of a content stream that you're going to continue. So an article that you publish for your newsletter, you can a couple of weeks later publish here on LinkedIn.
Yes,
exactly. So you publish it somewhere else. You
Absolutely.
Can compile some of these into a lead magnet or into an ebook, and just publish once, or write once, publish many times. Mm.
So, Ed, I actually have another appointment at 2:30, which is only a few minutes away, so I would love to wrap up now if we could. Sorry.
Yes.
I have got a bunch of appointments this afternoon that I have people to talk to. So.
Absolutely. Well, listen, everyone has been just posting, thank you, thank you, thank you, and I can't thank you enough.